Live from the historic parsonage of 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania. It's Iron Sharpens Iron, a radio platform on which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs 27, verse 17 tells us, "Iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another." Matthew Henry said that in this passage, quote, "We are cautioned to take heed whom we converse with, and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better." It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next hour, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. Now here's our host, Chris Arnton.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at IronSharpensIronRadio.com. This is Chris Arnson, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Tuesday on this 24th day of April, 2018. I'm delighted to have a returning guest today to discuss a very fascinating topic, Jim Osman. He's pastor and preaching elder of Kootenai Community Church in Kootenai, Idaho, and we're going to be discussing a very controversial book he has written. I know that all of you listening must be familiar with the fact that those who have reported visiting heaven after dying and then being brought back to life in some fashion by physicians and nurses and so on, and these books making their way making their way to books and even to major motion pictures. Well, our guest today, Jim Osman, has written a book, Selling the Stairway to Heaven, Critiquing the Claims of Heaven Tourists. And it's my honor and privilege to welcome you back to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Jim Osman.
Thank you, Chris. I appreciate the opportunity to be here with you and your listeners.
And we have a surprise co-host with us today. We have Justin Peters of Justin Peters Ministries, and he happens to be a member of Kootenai Community Church in Idaho under the pastorate of Jim Osman. And it's great to have you co-hosting the program with me today, Justin Peters.
Chris, thank you very much. It's an honor to be with you and an honor to be on with Jim as well. Looking forward to our time together.
And in fact,
Chris,
yes.
You said it's a surprise. It's no surprise to me Justin is continually trying to leverage my celebrity status for his own gain.
I think this is the first I'm discovering that Jim has a very good sense of humor.
He does indeed. I love that about it.
Yes. And by the way,
you're
breaking up there, Justin. I'm sorry.
I was just saying, I'm going to ride Jim's coattails as long as I can.
Yes, and if you both could make sure that when you're speaking, that you speak directly into the mouthpiece of whatever phone you're using or what have you. By the way, am I pronouncing Kootenai Community Church correctly? Hello? I think I've lost my guests already. Are both of you there?
Oh, Jim, Chris, I'm here, but yes, you are. I just figured Jim would answer that, but yes, you are pronouncing it correctly.
And Jim, are you...
Yeah, can you hear me now? Am I back on there?
Yeah, I can hear you now, yes. You scared me there for a second.
I accidentally muted the phone there. Go ahead. Yeah, you're pronouncing it correctly.
Okay, great. It has been a while since we've... It hasn't been that long, but it's been long enough for me to forget whether I'm... pronouncing it correctly. Well, before we go into this subject, Selling the Stairway to Heaven, Critiquing the Claims of Heaven Tourists, which is a great way of phrasing that, please remind our listeners or inform our listeners for the first time, for those of my audience, for those in my audience who did not hear your previous interview, tell us about Kootenai Community Church.
Kootenai Community Church is a small church and set in rural North Idaho, amongst the foothills of the Rockies and the Selkirk Mountains. It's a beautiful area, and we are right up close to the U.S.-Canadian border, We are an elder-led church. We have four elders. I'm the primary preaching elder, though all four of our elders are involved in teaching. We are a conservative church, reformed in our soteriology, though not in our eschatology. And we believe and are committed to the exposition of Scripture and the shepherding of the saints who make this church their home.
And when you say you're not reformed in regard to your eschatology, are you dispensationalist or are you historic pre-mill? Or where would you be in that area?
A dispensationalist. I would be a dispensationalist.
Okay. And Justin Peters, remind our listeners or inform them for the first time, if they're just discovering you, what Justin Peters Ministries is all about.
Yes, Chris. God has opened up a ministry for me to be an evangelist. I travel across the United States and around the world, usually have 3 to 5 international trips per year, but travel preaching and teaching, though it's not my only interest, what I'm most well known for is the seminar that I teach entitled Clouds Without Water. It's a biblical critique of the health and wealth, prosperity, gospel, word of faith movement. And so that's about it.
Great. Well, I know that your website is justinpeters.org, correct?
Correct. It is.
Yeah, so I'm urging all of you to look that up and also look up previous interviews that I've had with Justin, and also look up the last interview I had with Jim Osman on this program at the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio website archive. For Justin Peters, just type in the search engine of the archive where it says past shows podcast, type in Justin Peters. And for Jim Osman, obviously you could do the same with his name, Jim Osman, O-S-M-A-N, or just type in his last name, O-S-M-A-N, and his previous interview will come up. Jim, as I said in the introduction, there have been more and more people, it seems, coming forward. I cannot read their minds or know their hearts as to know their motivations for doing this or what the source is of their claims about visiting heaven, whether they are something that have been demonically inspired or whether they are purposefully acts of charlatanism or what have you. But tell us, what was the motivation behind you writing the book Selling the Stairway to Heaven, Critiquing the Claims of Heaven Tourists?
Well, I remember several years ago when Don Piper's account, 90 Minutes in Heaven, sort of made its debut in the Christian scene, and it was all the rage, and it was shortly after I started pastoring that kind of swept through the Christian community in our area. And I looked at the book and then never read it, never really gave it any serious consideration. I just thought it was a passing fad that would probably eventually pass. And then, of course, follow-up to that was all of the products that came out. It became more than a passing fad. It became quite a popular thing. And more people were buying the book. And then Colton Burpo and Todd Burpo's book came out, Heaven is for Real. And that seemed to sell almost as many copies, if not more, than 90 Minutes in Heaven, and do it at a much quicker pace. So there was obviously a tremendous hunger, if you will, for this information, or at least a curiosity on behalf of Christians and the Christian community. And so after Heaven Was For Real was published, I made it my intention to simply do a book review of each one of these books just to see if they comported with Scripture, if they were consistent with themselves and consistent with each other. And so I started with a book review of Don Piper's book, 90 Minutes in Heaven, and compared his claims with his own claims in the book, and then later claims of that he made preaching and teaching about his experience to heaven. And then I did the same thing for Heaven is for Real, and then I followed that up with another book that came out just as I was getting ready to publish this book and put it all into a book.
I'm not sure what that is. Do you guys know what that is?
Yeah.
No, not on my side.
I'm sorry?
That was on mine. I'm so sorry about that.
Oh, that's all right. That's life and things happen. I wanted to make sure we weren't being invaded by another conference call. That's all.
Right. And then another book came out, and it was written by Eben Alexander called Proof of Heaven, and he was a a neuroscientist who had a form of meningitis, and he was in a coma for a period of time in his account of visiting heaven, and he doesn't claim to be a Christian at all, and yet he has an account where he went to heaven and describes what he saw there, and it's a whereas the other two accounts are openly quote-unquote Christian in their apparent trying to describe heaven, and in the profession of those men, even Alexander is not. He was an agnostic at best, and he presents a very Eastern sort of mystic New Age approach to the afterlife and the things he experienced. So my goal with critiquing his book and including a review of his book was to simply show that there are other people who are not even Christians who have these out-of-body experiences or near-death experiences, and that a lot of times those experiences can be very descriptive or similar to one's own worldview and one's own thinking and one's own expectation. And whatever Don Piper and Colton Burpo's motivations for what they wrote and what they said are, even Alexander's motivations were not at all financial, and it could not have been. Since he was a neurosurgeon, he had this world's goods, he was very well known, he had a prestigious position, and he stood to only lose from claiming to experience the afterlife, since he, by his own admission, all of his friends and family relatives and peers were all agnostics and complete materialists.
Now that's
an interesting comparison with the other two.
Yeah, that's utterly fascinating that he would remain an agnostic and yet believe he was in heaven. It doesn't even really make sense, does it?
Yeah, no, but a lot of Christians, I heard him interviewed on the Dennis Prager show. Well, now, Dennis Prager's worldview and even Alexander's worldview are completely opposite. Dennis Prager is not a materialist. He's an Orthodox Jew, and he believes in some form of afterlife and heaven. But if he was promoting even Alexander's book as, here's more proof that there is an afterlife, even a materialist is convinced that his materialism and his materialistic worldview were wrong by his experience of this afterlife.
Yeah, it's
and
been...
Yeah,
go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, just that even Alexander's, then his approach to the whole subject matter was just an interesting contrast with the other two, and something that demonstrates that unbelievers have these experiences as well.
Yes, and first of all, let me clarify for our listeners who may have misunderstood you. You are referring to Don Piper with a D as in David. Not John Piper, the well-known pastor, who I believe is retired from the pastorate in Minnesota, who, although we disagree with him on some of his views in favor of the charismatic movement, we would not want to confuse him with this Don Piper.
Yeah, correct. And if I said John Piper, I apologize.
No, you didn't. I clearly heard you, but
no relation that I know of.
Right. I heard you clearly say Don. I just wanted to clarify because, you know, people listening, especially when you're on the phone, they may have misunderstood you. And by the way, I want to remind Justin that Justin Peters, you can chime in with a question any time that you want. And don't wait for me to ask you for a question. Just chime in whenever you think the moment is appropriate. Before we get into some of these specific accounts that are claimed of visiting heaven, do you believe, and in fact, I'll ask both of you men, do either of you believe that it is ever possible for a genuine Christian who may die on a clinical death, obviously, on an operating table, then be revived or resuscitated and have some kind of an experience with heaven? And, of course, my follow-up question for both of you would actually be, do you believe that temporary visits or visions of hell for an unbeliever are possible? And we'll start with you, Jim, and then, Justin, you can follow.
Okay.
Yeah, well, in principle, I'd have to say that theoretically it is possible for someone to experience something after being unconscious or in a near-death state. I think that the question is, what is causing that experience and how genuine is it? And what should we make of those experiences? And that is where I think that these books go far afield. I usually answer this question by saying that I think that the veil between this life and the next is a very thin one. And I don't think that, I think it's possible for us, since we are soulless creatures with a spirit, soul, immaterial aspect to our being, that we can, in a moment of death or as we are crossing over into death, we can experience both worlds, as it were, for a period of time. Now, if we're able to come back and relate any of that, that I don't think I could say that you can, nor would I say that you should ever build any kind of theology or any sort of a ministry or a platform off of such an experience. That ultimately, that's just an experience, and anything you experience is not a source of truth. It's not a reliable source of information, and it should be questionable, questioned at best. I would never want to make my experience a test for truth in that regard. Justin, would you add anything to that?
Yeah, I would echo everything you just said, Jim. And, you know, I tell people often, you can't exegete an experience. Lots of people have experiences. Mormons, Muslims, Buddhists, tons of pagan people have experiences. The question is what is the source of those experiences? We do know that Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. We do know that demons have some ability to counterfeit signs and wonders. We know that from Scripture in a number of different places. But we have to go back to the authority of God's Word. Hebrews 9:27, it's appointed man wants to die and then the judgment. There's just no biblical warrant whatsoever to take any of these supposed experiences on any kind of authoritative level. But that's what these people are doing. Now, I tend to believe that whatever someone may experience or see or think they see in that kind of a twilight zone there, if you will, between life and death, I would lean much more that it is simply the body doing weird things in that state of shutting down or you know, getting ready to transition. I have no doubt the body can do some very unusual things. And all of us have had dreams. We can all attest to this. We've all had dreams that we've thought were real. I mean, very, very vivid, very real. And even when we wake up until the cobwebs clear after a couple minutes, we still think it was real, even after we've been awake for a minute or two. And so I would say that whatever they're experiencing, it's something along those lines rather than an actual crossing over. But even at that, none of these accounts can be taken as any kind of a authoritative source for truth. We must stand on the sufficiency of God's Word for that.
But you do still... I just wanted to have Justin confirm whether or not he holds out the possibility that it could happen.
Chris, I would. I don't suppose I could rule it out 100%. I mean, my mind immediately goes to Stephen in Acts chapter 7. Right before he was stoned, he had a vision of into heaven of Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. But of course, this was the apostolic age, and also Stephen's account. He was not even he was not dying yet. They were just about to stone him. But I don't suppose I could rule it out with 100% finality, but I would lean strongly against it. I would be very surprised if that were the case. But even if it is possible, it's certainly nothing that we can take as authoritative. But I lean pretty heavily against it.
Okay, and Jim, you were just about to say something.
Well, I was just going to say that even Alexander's experience of what he relates in his book. I do not doubt for a moment that he had a genuine experience. The question is whether what he experienced is true or not. And I would say the same thing with Piper and with Verpo. I don't doubt for a moment that those people had those experiences. Now, the question is, was Piper's experience an experience of the true and genuine heaven? And to be able to discern that, you have to compare what he says about heaven to what Scripture says about heaven. And there I think it falls up short. So I would say whatever he experienced, as genuine and true and real as it was to him, it was not the true and genuine heaven that is revealed in Scripture. And I would say the same thing about Colton Burpo's experience as well.
Okay, now for the other side of eternity, what about hell? I have heard about people who have been revived from a death experience on an operating table, and the frightening visions that they had, or experiences that they had, did seem to be a key factor in their conversions. And of course, they don't always wind up that way. There are some lunatic fringe people that make the same claims. But do you think that God could use a glimpse of hell before somebody permanently dies, physically, that is, in order to awaken them to the truth that they are headed for eternal damnation if they don't repent and embrace Christ?
I would say one example of that would be Bill Weiss. He wrote a book entitled 23 Minutes in Hell. He claims that Jesus took him to hell after he became a believer, which is very problematic theologically. I don't know why Christ would send someone, take someone to the very place from which he died to save them. But I personally think that that is what you're hearing with these people who are on their deathbed or in that twilight zone, if you will, and they come back horrified, and they're revived, and they're horrified by what they experienced. Chris, I would say that that is probably nothing more than their guilty conscience. They have been brought face-to-face with their own mortality in a very acute way, and I think they are dying. These lost people are dying with a guilty conscience. And so I think that's all there is. I have to keep coming back to Hebrews 9:27, that it's appointed man wants to die, and then the judgment. The judgment comes after death, not before, not in the transitional state, after final death, then the judgment. So, Jim, do you have any thoughts on that?
No, I would concur with that entirely. I mean, what we're saying is that in principle, there's nothing about the realm of the natural and the supernatural, or the spiritual and the material, that says that somebody cannot be experiencing for a moment in time both worlds. I've heard accounts from reliable people who say that, you know, grandma who served with the Lord all her life, she was then genuinely born-again believer, as she's lying on her deathbed, she got this glow on her face, this look of peace as she was gazing what seemed like past the ceiling, and she started to smile, and then she immediately passed into eternity. You know, experiences like that where somebody's body is reacting in this realm to what their soul is passing into in the next, I have no reason to doubt those episodes, those occurrences. What I do have reason to doubt is people who say, I went here and I experienced this, and so let me teach you what Scripture cannot teach you about these things. That is cause for real, genuine doubt, and that's what I take serious issue with.
Yes, I not long ago, I can't even remember right now where I was hearing these deathbed, these last words on earth in deathbed experiences, where very famous Christians that we would consider biblically sound, that we would uphold as great heroes of the faith, where right before they permanently left this earth, where they died physically, permanently, they weren't revived or anything, but their last words seemed to indicate, with some of them, that they were seeing a glimpse of heaven or something like that.
Yeah, I have no problem in principle with that, with those accounts.
Now, the Apostle Paul's glimpse of heaven that he received, does he indicate that he would be the only one that saw this glimpse, that it was given this rare opportunity to see heaven?
Well, he doesn't state that specifically, but in the New Testament, there are only three men who are allowed a glimpse into heaven, and that is Stephen, who I mentioned a minute ago, Acts chapter 7, and then John, who wrote the book of Revelation, but he was writing inspired, authoritative Scripture. And so that's on a level all of its own. And then the third one, the only other one, is the Apostle Paul, Chris, that you mentioned. And we read about that in 2 Corinthians 12. But what I find so compelling about that is a couple of things. Number one, Paul did not even want to talk about his experience, but his apostolic authority was being questioned by people back in Corinth. And so it was almost like a reluctant, look, you question my authority. Well, I know a man.
Yeah, he speaks of himself in the third person.
In the third person, exactly right. And I think that's extremely insightful, not only into Paul's character, but his humility. Paul did not boast about this. He was so humbled by it that he referred to himself in the third person. He said, I know a man in Christ. And and this thing happened 14 years ago at the time of his writing. He said, I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago. So 14 years had passed, and Paul had said nothing about this. He had written nothing about this. And even when he finally did, almost reluctantly, bring it up, he said that this man heard words that are inexpressible that man is not permitted to speak. He said, I heard words that I'm not allowed to speak. And I'm just struck by the stark contrast between the Apostle Paul. This is the man who wrote, you know, depending on who you think wrote the book of Hebrews, somewhere between a third and a half of the New Testament. This was the Apostle Paul, and he was not allowed to tell people what he saw and heard in heaven. And he certainly didn't go on book tours and the speaking circuit and make a career out of his trip to heaven like all these other people today do. It's just a stark, stark contrast.
And we're going to have...
The episode in Paul's life seems to be connected to his apostolic claims as well. Presumably, if the Corinthians had never questioned Paul's credentials, we would never have even known about that experience.
Right. And when we come back from our break, Jim, I'd like you to go through, in summary, the major claims that you address in your book by those who claim that they have experienced a tour of heaven, if you will call it that. And if anybody would like to join us on the air, whether you agree with our guests, whether you disagree, perhaps you have a claim of your own, well, send us an email to chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Please give us your first name, at least your city and state and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Let's say you believe that you have had some kind of an experience of visiting heaven or hell, and you don't want to draw attention to yourself, you're embarrassed by it perhaps, or whatever the case may be, I can understand you wanting to remain anonymous. Or perhaps your pastor or your congregation agrees with these kinds of experiences and you disagree with them. Or perhaps you're a pastor and your denomination agrees with these kinds of things and you disagree with your denomination or something like that. We understand that you would want to remain anonymous. But other than that, please give us your first name, at least your city and state and your country of residence. If you live outside the USA, don't go away. God willing, we'll be right back with Jim Osmond and Justin Peters right after these messages from our sponsors.
Tired of box store Christianity, of doing church in a warehouse with all the trappings of a rock concert? Do you long for a more traditional and reverent style of worship? And how about the preaching? Perhaps you've begun to think that in-depth biblical exposition has vanished from Long Island. Well, there's good news. Wading River Baptist Church exists to provide believers with a meaningful and reverent worship experience, featuring the systematic exposition of God's Word. And this loving congregation looks forward to meeting you. Call them at 631-929-3512 for service times. 631-929-3512. Or check out their website at wrbc.us. That's wrbc.us.
I'm James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. The New American Standard Bible is perfect for daily reading or in-depth study. Used by pastors, scholars, and everyday readers, the NASB is widely embraced and trusted as a literal and readable Bible translation. The NASB offers clarity and readability while maintaining high accuracy to the original languages, which the NASB is known for. The NASB is available in many editions like a topical reference Bible. Researched and prepared by biblical scholars devoted to accuracy, the new topical reference Bible includes contemporary topics relevant to today's issues. From compact to giant print Bibles, find an NASB that fits your needs very affordably at nasbible.com. Whichever edition you choose, trust, discover, and enjoy the NASB for yourself today. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com.
One sure way all Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners can help keep my show on the air is to support my advertisers. I know you all use batteries every day, so I'm urging you all from now on to exclusively use BatteryDepot.com for all your battery needs. At BatteryDepot.com, they're changing the status quo. They're flipping the script. They're sticking it to the man. In other words, they'd like to change the battery industry for good by providing an extensive inventory of top-of-the-line batteries that are uniformly new, dependable, and affordable. Ordering from BatteryDepot.com ensures you'll always get fresh out-of-the-box batteries you can count on to work properly at competitive prices. Whether you need batteries for cordless phones, cell phones, radios, PCs, laptops, tablets, baby monitors, hearing aids, smoke detectors, credit card readers, digital cameras, electronic cigarettes, GPSs, MP3 players, watches, or nearly anything else you own that needs batteries, go to BatteryDepot.com. Next day shipping available. All products protected by 30-day guarantees and 6-month warranties. Call 866-403-3768. That's 866-403-3768. Or go to BatteryDepot.com. That's BatteryDepot.com.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bill Shishko, inviting you to tune in to A Visit to the Pastor's Study every Saturday from 12 noon to 1 p.m. Eastern Time on WLIE Radio, www.wlie540am.com. We bring biblically faithful pastoral ministry to you, and we invite you to visit the pastor's study by calling in with your questions. Our time will be lively, useful, and I assure you, never dull. Join us this Saturday at 12 noon Eastern Time for a visit to the pastor's study, because everyone needs a pastor.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com, and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Welcome back. This is Chris Arnzen. If you just tuned us in, our guest today is Jim Osman, pastor and preaching elder of Kootenai Community Church in Kootenai, Idaho. We are discussing his book, Selling the Stairway to Heaven, Critiquing the Claims of Heaven Tourists. And with us is Justin Peters, who is a surprise guest co-host today, also interviewing Jim Osman with me. If you'd like to join us on the air with a question, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com, and please give us your first name, city and state, and country of residence if you live outside the USA. We have a listener in Mechanicsburg, Pennsylvania, who says, "In your opinion, are these accounts in general largely to be attributed to pure greed, or is there demonic activity at play?" A very interesting question, and if you could, both of you, if you could answer that. We'll start with Jim Osman.
Do we have to choose between the two, or can we say it's some combination of both?
Yeah, well, obviously, you could say whatever you believe is the truth.
Well, I can't judge Don Piper's motives or Todd Burpo's motives. The fact that they have made millions of dollars off of their stories is something that can't be ignored, I don't think, in all fairness. They both would have a financial motive. Don Piper's accident cost him with his medical bills. It was astronomical, and he mentions that in his book. And Todd Burpo was on the cusp of of obscurity, pastoring a small Methodist church out in the plains, and mentions his own financial difficulties that were at the heart of all of this until all of a sudden his son made a trip to heaven, and the book sprung him into a position to be able to make a tremendous amount of money. I don't think that, though I can't say that that's what their motive is because I don't know their heart. It's not a detail that can be ignored. On the other side of the equation is what I mentioned earlier with Eben Alexander and his book, Proof of Heaven. He's not somebody who I would say had a financial motivation at all. I don't know how it is. I mean, he stood to only to lose from his account and coming forward with it. And as I said, all of his peers and his medical peers and his family members were all shared the same materialistic worldview that he held before he had his experience. So did he make millions off the book? I don't know. He probably sold a good number of books, but he couldn't have foreseen that he would have made a lot of money on that from the sale of the book. So, there could be a financial motivation there. I would say it's fair to say that that's possible, though I don't know that for sure. I also think that these experiences can be demonic deceptions, and I don't think that that's something that should be ignored either. I think Satan has a motivation, or at least a good motive for deceiving people the way that he has with these books, because I think that one of the effects of these types of books and these types of stories is to draw people's attention away from Scripture and away from Scripture as our only authority, and putting it upon the experiences of men who end up exalting themselves as a reliable source of truth regarding the next life and what awaits the believers after this one.
Well, Gordy, you have won a free copy of Selling the Stairway to Heaven, so please make sure we have your full mailing address. And I'm sorry, Justin, if you could.
Oh, no, that's fine. I would just echo everything that Jim said. And some of these individuals, and there's a lot of them, Chris. There's you've got Jesse Duplantis, who says he went to heaven, Robert Liardin. We've talked about Don Piper, Colton Burpo, Bill Weiss. There's Mary Baxter. There's, watch the Sid Roth television program, and just about every other week he's got somebody on his program that says he or she went to heaven. And so there's a lot of these people. Now, financial motivation is a huge, huge part of it. Jesse Duplantis, for example, that's what put him on the map, was his claim to go to heaven on a cable car, no less.
I'm sorry, I can't. Yeah. Sorry about that.
It's true. I mean, it's the most bizarre thing. He went to heaven on a cable car, and there was a blonde-haired angel on the cable car with him, and he says that he saw his own mansion, which that's not even the right rendering of that word, in John 14. But it just ridiculous stuff. But this is what launches people. See, nowadays, unfortunately, you're not going to gain a big following by publishing a systematic theology or publishing a commentary or something on sound doctrine. People aren't, except for God's faithful remnant, for the most part, people are not interested in those things. They're interested in experiences. And so if you can come up with some experience, you can be the new shiny object there for a while, and you gain a lot of followers. Jesse Duplantis lives in a 35,000-square-foot parsonage. And so there are millions and millions of dollars to be made in this. Now, some of them, as Jim said rightly, I think most of these people are just making it up. Some of them had some kind of a dream that they thought was real, and they told it to someone told it to someone else, and on, and pretty soon you've got this whole story that's been fabricated around just what was nothing more than a dream. I think Don Piper would probably fit into that. Paul talks in 2 Timothy chapter 3, those in verse 12 and 13, he talks about those who are deceiving and being deceived. Deceiving and being deceived. And I think some of these people, some of them, fall into that. They are actively deceiving people. They know they're lying because they contradict even themselves. And you look at these accounts, they often contradict one another, but sometimes they even contradict themselves. They can't even keep their own story straight.
Right.
So they're actively deceiving and yet being deceived. And both of those dynamics can be at work in the same person.
And Jim, what are the primary stories that you deal with in your book? In fact, let me, before I ask you that or have you answer that, there was an account, and I can't remember which one it was. I have a feeling it was the Burpo account, but I'm not sure. But Phil Johnson, who I'm sure you both are very familiar with, he is the executive director of Grace to You Ministries, the media ministry of John MacArthur, and he had some kind of communication with the wife or ex-wife of one of these individuals responsible for writing or pushing a child to write these experiences, and the wife or ex-wife was convinced that this was all false. Do you know which one I'm talking about?
Yeah, Justin knows more about that than I do. Not necessarily the account, but Justin has been in contact with some of the key players there, so I'll let him answer that.
Yeah, yes, Chris, and thank you, Jim. The young man of whom you're speaking is Alex Malarkey, and Alex was in a car accident with his father when he was about 7 years of age, and sometime after the car accident, his father, Kevin Malarkey, wrote this book.
Unfortunate name for somebody trying to convince people of a very fantastical story.
Yeah, it is. I know people have made note of that, but it's, you can't really help what your last name is, but Kevin, long story short, Kevin wrote this book called The Boy Who Went to Heaven, and about his own son. Well, the book was very, very popular. Lifeway sold this book, for example, in its stores. Very, very popular. But some years later, in fact, as of right now, about 4 years ago, Alex got saved, genuinely saved. Now,
praise God.
Text here. Alex, yeah, praise God indeed. Alex is a quadriplegic. The accident left him completely paralyzed. He has to have 24/7 care. He's hooked up to machines to help him respirate. Unless God heals him in a very miraculous way, Alex is not going to improve physically. But Alex did exactly what you would expect a Christian to do. He came out and he said, "My story is not true. I did not go to heaven." Now, unfortunately, his father, Kevin, wanted to perpetuate the lie because it was his gravy train. But Alex did what he was supposed to do, what you would expect a believer to do. And they were trying to get the truth out to Tyndale publishers and to the major Christian bookstores that were selling his book, Lifeway included. And Beth Malarkey is Alex's mother. And as you said, Chris, Phil has been in contact with her. I have been in contact with her. And they were trying to get the truth out about this, and nobody would listen to them. Tyndale would not listen.
Wow.
The Christian bookstore would not listen because this was making them money. And I even had email exchanges with Tom Rainer, the president of Lifeway. I used to be on the board of Lifeway, so I had his email address. And I was trying to get them to pull the whole genre of this heavenly tourism industry. It's not biblical, and so I was trying to get him to pull these books from Lifeway shelves, and they wouldn't do it. But I finally said, "Tom, I've been in contact with Beth Malarkey. They are trying to get the truth out that this story did not happen, that Alex did not go to heaven. Alex is trying to get the truth out." I said, "If you don't believe me, here's Beth Malarkey's email address. Here's her phone number. Contact them." This was in May of 2014. Well, January or February of 2015 is when the story finally broke in the secular media all over the world. It was one of the biggest news stories in the world for about a day or two. Broke out that Alex recanted his story and he didn't go to heaven. And then Lifeway comes out with a statement, and they said, "Upon learning about Alex Malarkey's recantation, we had decided to pull his book from our shelves." Well, upon learning? No, that's a lie. That's a flat-out lie, and I can prove it. They knew about this months before, seven, 8 months before, definitively knew it, because Tom Rainer was getting my emails. Tom Rainer and Ed Stetzer both. And so just a flat-out lie. And and if you can tell, I'm a bit passionate about this because I'm grieved by these so-called Christian bookstores selling theological garbage that they know is garbage, but they sell it anyway because it makes a buck. And unfortunately shows that their primary concern is the bottom line, not the spiritual well-being of their customers and obviously not the glory of God. But I have a tremendous amount of respect for Alex. And he actually got baptized just a few weeks ago. And he had to be sprinkled because he can't get his equipment that keeps him alive, can't get that wet, obviously. So he kind of had a Presbyterian baptism of sorts, sprinkled. But you know what? I'm fine with that. And I just praise the Lord for Alex. Alex did what you would expect a Christian to do, in contrast with Colton Burpo.
Yeah, in fact, you can inform them, if you'd like, that they have an open door here on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio for an interview. I don't know how capable the son is to speak on a phone or something, but I can certainly interview the mother or both of them if they are both able to. And so you can...
I will pass that on to Beth, yeah.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
I can do that.
Well, if you could, Jim, what are the major stories that you examine and refute in your book?
Well, what I tried to do in the book was to compare the statements that are made within each book with other statements made within each book to see if they're self-confirming or contradictory. There are places in the book, for instance, where he talks about... there not being age in heaven, and then you reverse.
By the way, Jim, you're—I don't know what's happening—but you're very muffled. If you could make sure you speak directly into your mouthpiece, I don't know if that's what's happening, but
okay, is that a little bit better?
Yeah, that's a lot better.
Okay, Don Piper makes a number of claims that in his book regarding what he saw and felt and heard in heaven that he later contradicts inside of his own book. For instance, he makes statements about not having very much knowledge and yet knowing everything. He makes statements about things that he saw and heard, and then later will contradict those. Seeing people in heaven that obviously had some sort of age to them, and then talking about how there is no age in heaven. And then I compared some of his statements to things the Scripture says. For instance, one of the most I'm looking for the quote here if I can get to it. One of the most I think the egregious claims he makes is regarding the songs in heaven. He writes this: many of the old hymns and choruses I had sung at various times in my life were part of the music, along with hundreds of songs I had never heard before. Hymns of praise, modern sounding choruses, and ancient chants filled my ears and brought not only a deep peace, but the greatest feeling of joy I had ever experienced. As I stood before the gate, I didn't think of it, but later I realized that I didn't hear some songs.
Jim, you're totally going muffled again. I don't know what's happening on your end, but can you make?
Yeah, I'm not moving anything, but
right, like right now, you're perfect.
Okay, he makes statements like, "As I stood before the gate, I didn't think of it, but later I realized that I did not hear such songs as the old rugged cross or the nail-scarred hand." And then he says this: "None of the hymns that filled the air were about Jesus' sacrifice or death. I heard no sad songs, and instinctively knew that there are no sad songs in heaven. Why would there be? All were praises about Christ's reign as King of Kings and our joyful worship of all that he has done for us and how wonderful he is." You compare that with what Scripture says when John looks upon the scene in heaven. He says he heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was myriads of myriads and thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing." So, you know, he makes reference to these songs in heaven being like the ones we sang on earth, and yet John's perspective of heaven is that Christ is praised for his bloody sacrificial death as the Lamb of God for the sins of his people. So those type of contradictions are within the books themselves, where whatever it was that Piper experienced, it was not heaven. And in fact, it's really unfair to say that he spent 90 minutes in heaven,
because he says over and over in the book that he never actually went into heaven. All of his experience was outside the gate of heaven. So by his own admission, he spent 90 minutes outside the gates of heaven, and he never saw Jesus. He says in the book that he never saw God, and all that he saw were the people from his life, people who had been significant spiritually or in his own development on earth were there to greet him, and Jesus was nowhere to be found. So that type of approach to heaven, that those type of claims about heaven, I think, are contradictory to themselves and most significantly to Scripture.
Yeah, the thing that amazes me is that, by the way, Jim, you were perfect for the last a couple of minutes of your commentary there.
Okay.
So whatever it is you're doing, keep doing. But it's amazing that Roman Catholics and evangelicals will get excited about these stories, even though the stories conflict with their own theologies and religions. Makes absolutely no sense to me. I know especially a number of Roman Catholics, even in Catholic media, that will stand by and promote and support these things when, according to their own theology, these people should be in purgatory. Doesn't make any sense. Am I right? I mean, doesn't... go ahead. Well, Jim, we'll start with you, and then Justin.
Yeah, the other thing is that some of these books, contradict themselves. The accounts contradict each other. Piper, for instance, he endorsed Todd Burpo's book on Colton Burpo's experience, and yet in Piper's book, he says that the age is not recognized in heaven. Age is not a thing in heaven, but in Burpo's book, he makes the claim that there are all kinds of kids in heaven, and that Jesus, he sat on Jesus' lap and did his homework, and Jesus helped him do his homework, and the Holy Spirit was like a blue fog in heaven, and Jesus had a rainbow-colored horse, and all of this other nonsense. So there's all these claims that one will make that are completely contradicted by the other. So where does this confusion come from? It's certainly God who is not the author of it.
His vision of heaven seemed to be his little sister's bedroom. That's what... all these kinds of bizarre, girly, childlike things that he saw. Well, we actually have to go to our midway break right now. This is a longer than normal break because Grace Life Radio, 90.1 FM in Lake City, Florida, requires of us a 12-minute break between our two major segments. So please be patient with us. Take this time to not only write down the information you are hearing from our advertisers so that you can patronize them and respond to them, but also take this time to write down your own questions. We have a number of you still waiting with your questions, and we'll get to as many of you as we possibly can, time permitting. Our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. Please give us your first name at least, your city and state, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Don't go away. God willing, we'll be right back with Jim Osman and Justin Peters on Selling the Stairway to Heaven.
Iron Sharpens Iron welcomes Solid Rock Remodeling to our family of sponsors. Serving South Central Pennsylvania, Solid Rock Remodeling is focused on discovering, understanding, and exceeding your expectations. They deliver personalized project solutions with exceptional results. Solid Rock Remodeling offers a full range of home renovations, including kitchen and bath remodeling, decks, porches, windows and doors, roof and siding, and more. For a clear, detailed professional estimate, call this trustworthy team of problem solvers who provide superior results that stand the test of time. Call Solid Rock Remodeling at 717-697-1981, 717-697-1981, or visit SolidRockRemodeling.com. That's SolidRockRemodeling.com. Solid Rock Remodeling, bringing new life to your home.
Hi, I'm Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Are you a Christian looking to align your faith and finances? Then you'll want to check out Thrivent Financial. They're not your typical financial services provider. They're a not-for-profit, Fortune 500 organization that helps their nearly 2.4 million members to be wise with money. They provide guidance that reflects your values so you can protect what matters most. They help members live generously and strengthen the communities where they live, work, and worship. Learn more about the Thrivent story by contacting Michael Gallagher at 717-254-6433. That's 717-254-6433.
We know we were made for so much more than ordinary life. Blending faith, finances, and generosity. That's the Thrivent story.
Every day at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ, staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York, by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
Hi, I'm Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, here to tell you about an exciting offer from World Magazine, my trusted source for news from a Christian perspective. Try World at no charge for 90 days and get a free copy of R.C. Sproul's book, Relationship Between Church and State. I rely on World because I trust the reporting. I gain insight from the analysis, and World provides clarity to the news stories that really matter. I believe you'll also find World to be an invaluable resource to better understand critical topics with a depth that's simply not found in other media outlets. Armed with this coverage, World can help you to be a voice of wisdom in your family and your community. This trial includes bi-weekly issues of World Magazine, on-scene reporting from World Radio, and the fully shareable content of World Digital. Simply visit wmg.org/ironsharpens to get your World trial and Dr. Sproul's book all free. No obligation with no credit card required. Visit World News Group at wng.org/ironsharpens today.
Have you been blessed by Iron Sharpens Iron Radio? We remain on the air because of our faithful sponsors and because of listeners like you. There are four ways you can help. First, do you know potential sponsors who may wish to advertise their goods or services on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio? Second, whenever possible, purchase the products or use the services that our sponsors advertise. And then let them know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Thirdly, you can also donate to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio by going to our website at ironsharpensironradio.com and click support at the top of the page. But most importantly, keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in your prayers. We hope that Iron Sharpens Iron Radio blesses you for many years to come.
Chef Exclusive Catering is in South Central Pennsylvania. Chef Exclusive's goal is to provide a dining experience that is sure to please any palate. Chef Damian White of Chef Exclusive is a graduate of the renowned Johnson & Wales University with a degree in culinary arts and applied science. Chef Exclusive Catering's event center is newly designed with elegance and style and is available for small office gatherings, bridal showers, engagement parties, and rehearsal dinners. Critics and guests alike acknowledge Chef Exclusive's commitment to exceeding even the highest expectations. I know of their quality firsthand since Chef Exclusive catered my most recent Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Pastor's Luncheon. For details, call 717-388-3000. That's 717-388-3000. Or visit chefexclusive.com. That's chefexclusive.com.
Paul wrote to the church at Galatia, "For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ." Hi, I'm Mark Lukens, pastor of Providence Baptist Church. We are a Reformed Baptist church, and we hold to the London Baptist Confession of Faith of 1689. We are in Norfolk, Massachusetts. We strive to reflect Paul's mindset to be much more concerned with how God views what we say and what we do than how men view these things. That's not the best recipe for popularity, but since that wasn't the apostles' priority, it must not be ours either. We believe, by God's grace, that we are called to demonstrate love and compassion to our fellow man, and to be vessels of Christ's mercy to a lost and hurting community around us, and to build up the body of Christ in truth and love. If you live near Norfolk, Massachusetts, or plan to visit our area, please come and join us for worship and fellowship. You can call us at 508-528-5750, that's 508-528-5750, or go to our website to email us, listen to past sermons, worship songs, or watch our TV program entitled Resting in Grace. You can find us at providencebaptistchurchma.org, that's providencebaptistchurchma.org, or even on sermonaudio.com. Providence Baptist Church is delighted to sponsor Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Hi, I'm Buzz Taylor, frequent co-host with Chris Arnson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. I would like to introduce you to my good friends Todd and Patty Jennings at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Todd and Patty specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable to everyone. Since 1987, the family-owned and operated book service has sought to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices. Unlike other book sites, they make no effort to provide every book that is available because, frankly, much of what is being printed is not worth your time. That means you can get to the good stuff faster. It also means that you don't have to worry about being assaulted by the pornographic, heretical, and otherwise faith-insulting material promoted by the secular book vendors. Their website is cvbbs.com. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence as Todd and Patty work in service to you, the church, and to Christ. That's Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Let Todd and Patty know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And you can call cvbbs.com at their toll-free number, 800-656-0231, 800-656-0231. They man that phone line typically Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time. And if you call and they don't answer, just call back the next day if it's a weekday. And you can always order 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at cvbbs.com, cvbbs.com. And please mention that you heard about them from Chris Arnson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. If you do, you will not only get free shipping on a $50 or more purchase, but you'll also get absolutely free of charge the book, The Salt of the Covenant, or The Biblical Doctrine of Salvation, written by multiple authors. It was first published in 1908 and reprinted with revisions by Sovereign Grace Union of London, England in 1932. And this is a modern version of this in hardback, shrink-wrapped, retailing for $22. You'll get it absolutely free if you purchase $50 or more worth of merchandise and mention Chris Arnson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And Justin Peters was just talking about in regard to Lifeway and their reluctance to initially stop selling the books that were making them money with all kinds of bizarre and heretical claims in regard to visits to heaven. Well, you will never have anything like that at cvbbs.com. The owners are thoroughly reformed in their theology. They're members in good standing at a local Presbyterian church that is conservative and Bible-believing and confessionally faithful. And so you don't have to ever worry about anything weird being sold at cvbbs.com unless you find the truth weird. But please mention that you heard about CVBBS from Chris Arnson and Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. I almost forgot my own name there. But we have a few more announcements to make before we return to our guest today, Jim Osman, and my co-host, my special co-host today, Justin Peters. First of all, we have coming up next weekend. Actually, what am I saying? Next weekend. It's this weekend. This weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, the Spirit of the Age and the Age of the Spirit is the theme at the Philadelphia Conference on Reformed Theology, April 27th through the 29th at Proclamation Presbyterian Church in Bryn Mawr, Pennsylvania. And the speakers include Conrad Mbewe, Richard Phillips, Jonathan Master, David Murray, Scott Oliphant, and more. If you would like to register for this event, go to alliancenet.org, alliancenet.org, click on events, and then click on the Spirit of the Age, Age of the Spirit, Philadelphia Conference on Reformed Theology. And once again, that is being held from the 27th through the 29th of April this weekend at Proclamation Presbyterian Church in Bryn Mawr, Pennsylvania. Please let the Alliance of Confessing Evangelicals know that you heard about this event from Chris Arnson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Then next month, May 29th through the 31st, the 2018 Banner of Truth Ministers Conference is being held in Elizabethtown, Pennsylvania. I plan to be there as well, God willing. The theme is Ministers of Christ, and the speakers include Alistair Begg, Johnny Gibson, Mark Johnston, Al Moeller, David Strain, and Craig Troxell. If you would like to register for the Banner of Truth Ministers Conference, go to banneroftruth.org. That's banneroftruth.org. Click on events and then click on U.S. Ministers Conference. Make sure you click on U.S. because the U.K. Ministers Conference is going on as we speak. So there are other conferences. So the one that has yet to be held next month is the U.S. Ministers Conference. And please tell the folks at Banner of Truth that you heard about them and these conferences from Chris Arnson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Last but not least, if you love this program and you don't want it to disappear from the airwaves, please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now to donate to us via a debit or credit card. This is a fairly recent update in our website, thanks to our webmaster, Eric Nielsen, who has enabled our listeners to instantly donate with a credit or debit card. That is something that we have been getting requests for, especially from overseas, from people who did not feel comfortable mailing in checks. So please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You can still, if you prefer, mail in checks the old-fashioned way via snail mail. Just make out your check to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and mail it to the address you will see that pops up when you click support. Please never, ever, ever siphon money out of your regular giving to your local church where you are a member. If you're not a member of a local Bible-believing church, you are living in rebellion against God unless you're prayerfully seeking for one. So please rectify that situation and join a local Bible-believing church. I can help you if you want to send me an email. I've got lists of biblically faithful churches all over the world. I would love to help you find a church. But please never siphon money out of your regular giving to your local church. Never put your family in financial jeopardy by giving to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Providing for your family and your church are two commands of God. Providing for Iron Sharpens Iron Radio is obviously not a command of God. But if you are financially blessed above and beyond your financial ability to obey those two commands, please help support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio if you do love it and don't want it to disappear. Also, if you want to advertise with us, send us an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com, and put advertising in the subject line, whether it's your church, your parachurch ministry, your business, your professional practice, if you're a lawyer, a doctor, a dentist, a chiropractor, or if you just have a special event that you want to advertise, as long as it's compatible with what the theology is of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, we would love to help you launch an ad campaign because we truly could use your advertising dollars. You don't have to believe identically with me. You just need to be promoting something that is compatible with what we believe or even something that's religiously and theologically neutral. If you own a shoe store, that's quite all right. You don't really have to be in the same theological orbit as I am. But if you're promoting anything that is spiritual in nature, then please be reminded that you must be at least compatible with what we teach here. That's chrisarnson@gmail.com. And that's also the email address where you can send in a question to our guest, Jim Osmond. And we are addressing his book, Selling the Stairway to Heaven. And we also have a surprise co-host today, Justin Peters. And that email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. If you could, before we go into any more listener questions, Jim Osmond, if you could just continue with giving an outline of any of the other major accounts that you address and seek to expose in your book.
Yeah, one of the things that plagues, I think there are two issues that we should address real quick, and one of them is the lack of gospel presentation in these accounts, and the second is the way in which such accounts serve to undermine a belief in and a practice on the sufficiency of Scripture. When it comes to the gospel accounts, and the lack of clear gospel presentation in the books, you would think that having spent 90 minutes in heaven, that Don Piper would want to make the way to heaven absolutely clear, and yet about the closest thing to any kind of a gospel presentation that he has in the entire book is on page 196, where he says, quote, "Going to heaven that January morning wasn't my choice. The only choice in all of this is that one day I turned to Jesus Christ and accepted him as my Savior. Unworthy as I am, he allowed me to go to heaven, and I know the next time I go there, I'll stay," close quote. That's the closest thing to the gospel that Don Piper gets to in his book. He says earlier in his book on page 129, he said, I want as many people as possible to go to heaven. I've always believed Christian theology that declares heaven is real and a place for God's people. Since my own experience of having been there, I felt a stronger sense of responsibility to make the way absolutely clear. Not only do I want people to go to heaven, I now feel an urgency about helping them open their lives so they can be assured that's where they'll go when they die, close quote. Now, just his whole way of thinking that he's presenting the gospel with that type of language, open their lives so they'll be assured that that's where they go when they die, and asking Jesus into his heart and accepting him as a Savior, I take issue with the language itself. But not just that, but you would think that somebody who had seen heaven and spent 90 minutes there and was convinced that, in his own words, he needed to make the way absolutely clear, you would think that he would make it clear. But in the book, there's no presentation of the nature of sin or its ravages upon humanity or how we are lost or under the wrath of God or deserving of eternal torment or the substitutionary nature of Christ on the cross and what he did there in atoning for the sins of his people, or the responsibility of men to repent and to believe this gospel and what that will bring. None of that is presented in his book. And so it is absolutely devoid of the gospel, and Burpo's book is no better. Burpo uses the same kind of language about asking Jesus into your heart and thinks that that is a clear demonstration of exactly what the gospel is. So these books, they make no explanation of the gospel at all. And I can only surmise that if God were behind these visitations, if it were actually God that was allowing these men to see these things and what they had seen was the real heaven, that they would have something akin to the gospel fervency of the Apostle Paul.
Amen. Yeah, Justin, you had something to say?
Chris, just to tag on to what Jim said, I find that one of, I mean, there's so many reasons to reject these claims, logical, theological. But that really is the one of the primary ones, is that it is just unfathomable to me that someone who has been granted the magnanimous privilege of going to heaven would not bother to tell anybody how to get there. That is just proof positive that they didn't go. If you know, you can read these books and you can hear, you can see what. You can see how Don Piper describes his grandfather's big banana nose, his great-grandmother Hattie's smile. As Jim said, Colton Burpo, Jesus helped him with his homework. And you read about all this just ridiculous stuff.
But they don't bother to tell anybody how to get there. If they had truly, if they had really been to heaven, they would have been so overwhelmed by the majesty of God, the glory of God, the holiness of God, and they would be so overwhelmed by the urgency of the gospel, they would be doing nothing but preaching the gospel. They wouldn't be wasting their time telling you what their grandfather's nose looked like. And the fact that these books, I mean, it's just stunning to me, Chris, that the popularity of this whole genre of esotericism is a sad commentary of just how biblically illiterate the vast majority of professing Christians are. I mean, it shouldn't. You don't have to be a Greek scholar. You don't have to be a theologian to read these books and immediately realize, you know, something's not right here. How is it that they've been to heaven and they don't give anybody the gospel? It's just unfathomable to me.
Well, we do have some listener questions. We have BB in Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, who asks, how do you respond to somebody who says, why are you bothering to complain about these types of books and movies if they get people to start thinking seriously about the afterlife and heaven and the fact that it is a real place? Isn't there more good done than harm through these stories being spread?
Yeah, I think that would be a good opportunity to introduce the real harm that is done by stories like that, and that is that it undermines a belief in and a practice in the sufficiency of Scripture. Really, ultimately, our authority for the reality of heaven comes back to the Word of God itself. So such an objection or such a protest to my type of criticism of these accounts really comes back to the belief that, well, Scripture is not sufficient to accomplish that task, and so we need these accounts to do that, to convince people of the reality of heaven. And that is, in fact, exactly what Piper suggests in the later part of his book as he talks about all of the places that he goes to speak and tell people about heaven and the people who come up to him and thank him for his story. One theme that weaves its way through all of those accounts is these people doubting and vacillating over whether or not Scripture is true and whether or not heaven really is for real. And then they hear Piper and they breathe a big sigh of relief and say, oh, well, thank goodness, I finally I can know for sure that there is a heaven and that I'm going to go there, that it actually is real because Don Piper went and saw it. And he says on page 129 of his book, quote, in fact, my experience has changed many things about the way I look at life. I've changed the way I do funerals. Now I can speak authoritatively about heaven from firsthand knowledge, close quote. Well, I can speak authoritatively about heaven, but most significantly, not because I have had a first-person experience of heaven, but because Scripture tells me all that I need to know about heaven. And so we are fools to think that these books are going to accomplish something in the lives and souls of the lost that the Word of God cannot accomplish in their lives and their souls. These books are, all they do serve to do is undermine people's belief in the authority and the sufficiency of Scripture, because these men continually point back to themselves as a resource by which we can know that the testimony of Scripture is true and it's right and it's sure. And that really is the most insidious, I think, subtle and most horrific danger that these accounts and these books present to the body of Christ.
Amen. I mean, we walk down a very dangerous road when we start being pragmatic about using or taking advantage of falsehood or things from the dark side, if you will, just because we may see some things that appear to be a benefit in some way. Like, for instance, I know that people have criticized me when I have publicly critiqued and opposed certain revival meetings and evangelistic crusades where false professors are on the podium. And people will say, well, you know, people are coming to Christ. What's the big deal? You're making such a big deal about it. In fact, the people who follow those false teachers are more likely going to be in the audience. And then my response has been, yeah, but they're also more likely to continue following what the false teacher is teaching if they're on the podium there. Am I right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's very dangerous to be pragmatic is basically what I'm saying.
Yeah, right.
We have a, listener. By the way, BB, I forgot to mention, BB, you have won a free copy of Selling the Stairway to Heaven, Critiquing the Claims of Heaven Tourists by Jim Osmond. So please make sure we have your full mailing address, and we'll have cvbbs.com ship that book out to you. We have Arnie in Perry County, Pennsylvania, who asks a question that is relevant to something that I just found out from our co-host, Justin Peters. Arnie in Perry County says, have either of you sought out and confronted any of these people making these fantastic claims about the afterlife to confront them to their face that they are teaching a lie? And I believe, Justin, you have actually had that experience with one of these individuals, if you could explain.
Yes, Chris, I have. And I get that question a lot, you know, because I critique all the Word Faith preachers in my seminar. You know, have you confronted them? I've done my best, but these people largely are completely inaccessible. You don't have access to these big-name false teachers unless you're one of their aid donors, unless you give them a great deal of money. But on occasion, I've managed to do it. And several years ago, when Kathy and I were still living in Oklahoma, Don Piper came to a church in Oklahoma about an hour and a half from where we lived to talk about his book, 90 Minutes in Heaven. And Kathy and I went, and I had read his book, and so we sat there and listened to it, to his presentation, and in his presentation he said that he saw God while he was in heaven. Well, I find that very interesting because I happen to have a copy of his book with me, and when it was over, I went up to the table where he was selling books and signing them, and I said, I wish I hadn't recorded this, but I said, Mr. Piper, may I ask you a question? He said, yes. And I said, you said that you saw God while you were in heaven. He said, yes, I did. He said it was the brightest light I'd ever seen. He said it was up on top of a hill. And so I actually had the book with me, and I opened it to page 33. In his own book, and in his own book, he says, quote, I did not see God. I saw no luminous glow that might have indicated his divine presence, end quote. And I said, how do you explain that? You said tonight you did see God, but here in your book that you're selling here tonight, you say you didn't see God. Not only did you not see him, you didn't even see a divine glow that would have indicated where he was. And he was clearly caught off guard by that.
Wow.
And kind of stumbled around for a minute. He said, you know, I'm not the only one who was writing this book. There was he gave his name, I couldn't remember. But he also wrote the book with me, and if we could go back, we would change some things. And I said, Mr. Pike, but that's a big deal. I mean, to say that you saw God, I mean, that's a pretty specific and rather amazing claim. That you said you saw God, but in your book, you're very clear you did not see God. And he said, well, I'm telling you right now that I did. And then he just ushered me on. I mean, he really, because there were some other people that had gathered around and they were listening, and they heard I was intentionally talking loudly so a lot of people could hear it, and it was quite embarrassing for him. But yeah, these people are there. He's just dishonest, and I think what has happened is it has been a while since he has read his own book, and he just forgot what was in it, you know. And so it goes to show how dishonest these people really are.
Amen. We're going to go to our final break right now. It's going to be much briefer than the others. And if you'd like to join us on the air, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. As always, please give us your first name, your city and state, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. And only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. And by the way, Arnie in Perry County, you've also won a free copy of the book that we are discussing, Selling the Stairway to Heaven, Critiquing the Claims of Heaven Tourists. Please make sure we have your full mailing address there in Perry County, Pennsylvania. And don't go away. God willing, we'll be right back after these messages.
Hi, I'm Buzz Taylor, frequent co-host with Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. I would like to introduce you to my good friends Todd and Patty Jennings at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Todd and Patty specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable to everyone. Since 1987, the family-owned and operated book service has sought to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices. Unlike other book sites, they make no effort to provide every book that is available because, frankly, much of what is being printed is not worth your time. That means you can get to the good stuff faster. It also means that you don't have to worry about being assaulted by the pornographic, heretical, and otherwise faith-insulting material promoted by the secular book vendors. Their website is cvbbs.com. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence as Todd and Patty work in service to you, the church, and to Christ. That's Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Let Todd and Patty know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bill Shishko, inviting you to tune in to A Visit to the Pastor's Study every Saturday from 12 noon to 1 p.m. Eastern Time on WLIE Radio, www.wlie540am.com. We bring biblically faithful pastoral ministry to you, and we invite you to visit the pastor's study by calling in with your questions. Our time will be lively, useful, and I assure you, never dull. Join us this Saturday at 12 noon Eastern Time for a visit to the pastor's study, because everyone needs a pastor.
And if you call in to Bill Shishko's program, A Visit to the Pastor's Study, please make sure you tell Pastor Shishko that you heard about that program from Chris Arnson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And I hope you do call him regularly and often. He is certainly a fountain of biblical knowledge. I've known him since the 1980s, and I love this brother more than I can describe in human language. He is a dear friend and brother and supporter of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, and has always been behind me supporting everything I set my hand to do for the kingdom of God. So remember, you can listen every Saturday from 1 p.m. Eastern Time. I'm sorry, from 12 p.m. Eastern Time to 1 p.m. Eastern Time, either on the internet via live streaming anywhere in the world at WLIE540AM.com. That's WLIE540AM.com. Or you can actually listen on the AM dial at 540 if you live in New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, parts of Pennsylvania, Massachusetts, and Rhode Island. Please make sure that you listen as often as you can and call in as often as you can to A Visit to the Pastor's Study. Well, we are now back to our final half hour of our discussion with Jim Osman, who is a pastor and preaching elder of Kootenai Community Church in Kootenai, Idaho. We are discussing his book, Selling the Stairway to Heaven, Critiquing the Claims of Heaven Tourists. And my co-host today on the phone is Justin Peters, who happens to be a member of Kootenai Community Church in Kootenai, Idaho. And by the way, I'd like you all to mark your calendars for this Monday, because we have a biblically sound book, a biblically faithful and truthful book on heaven, written by a Reformed Baptist pastor, Will I Make It to Heaven? A New Look at the Perseverance of the Saints, written by Daniel Deeds, who is our guest this Monday, God willing, April 30th, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time. So mark your calendars for that interview on Will I Make It to Heaven by Daniel Deeds. Quite a providential thing that we arranged that interview very close to this one on the false accounts of those who claim to have visited heaven. And Justin Peters, do you have a question for Jim Osmond?
I do, Chris. Jim, I run into a lot of people as I travel that speak to their experiences or experiences of a friend or a family member, and they really base their worldview, they believe that they can glean truth or base truth off of these experiences. What would somebody say, what would be some verses that you could go to that speak to, some verses in the Bible that speak to the uncertainty of our experiences and the sufficiency of God's word to convince people of biblical truth, God's truth, that experiences just cannot do?
Excellent, excellent question.
Out of the gate, I would turn to 2 Peter chapter 1, where Peter refers to one of his own experiences, and in that context, he's describing how his presentation of the gospel, his relation, a relating of things pertaining to Christ is not based upon experiences. It's not based upon cleverly devised fables. He says in 2 Peter 1:16, we did not follow cleverly devised fables, tales, when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. And then Peter goes on to describe the mountaintop experience, the transfiguration, beginning in verse 17. He says, for when we received honor and glory from God the Father, such an utterance as this was made to him by the majestic glory, this is my beloved Son with whom I'm well pleased. And he's referring there to what happened in Matthew chapter 17. And Peter says, and we ourselves heard this utterance made from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain. And then verse 19, so we have the prophetic word made more sure. And of course, more sure than what? More reliable or true, more testworthy than what? His own experience. So he says, I'm not relating to you some fable passed on to me by other men. I was an eyewitness of these things when I had this experience, but even more significant than my experience is the prophetic word of God. And he there would be referring to the Old Testament scriptures as the reliable, sure word that his readers, he says, would do well to pay attention to as a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. And then he goes on to talk about the scriptures being inspired and not being a matter of one's own interpretation, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. So there he points his readers to not his own experience, which he could have related. He could have just told of all the things he experienced and told people there, look to me, I can now speak with authority because I am a firsthand witness of these things, as Piper does in his book, and as Todd Burpo suggests is true of his account as well. But Peter doesn't do that. He points his readers back to Scripture and says, more reliable than my experience is the Word of God. It's more sure, and you do well to take heed to it because it is inspired, and men of God moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. So that points people away from personal experience as a divine test for truth, as a source of truth, and points them to what is revealed in Scripture. And Jesus did the same thing in Luke chapter 16 when he says, if they don't give heed to Moses and the prophets, then they're not going to listen to you. They have Moses and the prophets. Let them respond to that. Let that convince them. And one of the assumptions behind Burpo's books and Piper's books is that their experiences are necessary to convince Christians that what Scripture says is true. And of course, that puts them as an authority above Scripture. They wouldn't intend to say that, but that's exactly what it does. And it puts their experience as the test of truth ahead of Scripture, which that's not what they would say they're intending to do, but that is exactly how they present their experience. So we are warned in Scripture not to trust our experiences, not to base our theology on experiences, but upon the Word of God. And that last objection that you raised from that listener on the email, Chris, where she says that these books do a lot of good in getting people to turn their attention to spiritual things and eternal issues, I would say if they will not listen to Moses and the prophets, they're not going to listen to Don Piper and Colton Burpo.
Amen.
And they ought not to.
Amen. And by the way, to clarify, our listener, Bibi, was not saying that she believed that. She was asking how to respond to people that claim that.
Yes, exactly. I understand that.
And this is excellent stuff because, and I'll have you both respond to this. The people, anybody who is basing their faith, their belief, their theology, especially salvifically, on supernatural experience, is really walking on very thin ice. I mean, I have had so many conversations, to give you an example, with Roman Catholics, for instance, who will swear that the apparitions of Mary at Fatima and other places are true just because the apparition has said good things about Jesus, has told people to follow Jesus, people's lives have been changed because of the apparition. Thousands of people simultaneously seeing, apparently or allegedly, the apparition. And you could go on and on, and what is very interesting is that even Roman Catholic theologians, especially the more conservative and traditionalist ones, while embracing the apparition of Fatima, totally reject as demonic or false the apparitions at Medjugorje. It's more the more moderate to liberal Catholics that embrace Medjugorje. But isn't this true that we, regardless of what theology we embrace, when we are basing something on a supernatural experience, it is very dangerous? And if you could both answer that, Jim, if you could start.
Yeah, those in that case, the experience ends up confirming a false religion, a Christian cult, as it were, that destroys the doctrine of justification by faith and exalts man's righteousness and man's works as sufficient for salvation. So there you have the demons have adequate reason to deceive people into thinking that such adoration of those relics, those images, and those apparitions is worth people's time, because it ends up distracting them away from the true Christ and the true Jesus. And the third book that I review in the book that I wrote, Eben Alexander's book, Proof of Heaven, his experience ends up being a confirmation of an Eastern mystic kind of Gnostic, quasi-materialistic worldview that he holds to. And so if experiences are validate truth, and if that's what we're going to say is the case with Piper and with Burpo, then what about Eben Alexander's experience? He had a very legitimate experience. And most Christians will say, well, no, we reject Eben Alexander because he was a materialist and he presents a very New Age and quasi-Eastern view of God and the afterlife there, but we'll embrace Piper and Burpo. And I would say, on what grounds do you embrace the one and reject the other? If experience is the test of truth, then why do you not embrace Eben Alexander's experience? And the only answer to that ends up being, well, Piper and Burpo are part of our tribe. You know, they name the same name that we do, and they're really promoting our God, so we're going to embrace their experiences, but not Eben Alexander's experiences, not the experiences of people who visit Fatima, etc. So it's very hypocritical, it's very inconsistent, and it just, once again, points back to the lack of biblical understanding that people have.
That's another example of the ends justify the means theology, where people will say, well, who really cares if that's real or not, as long as people are changing their lives and following Jesus and all that. But that is not true at all.
Yeah, somebody may say, well, yeah, I attended a Don Piper lecture, and I heard him talk about heaven. I gave my heart to Jesus at the end of it. Okay, so what? I mean, what Jesus did you give your heart to, and what gospel message did you respond to? I hope that at least there was a gospel message clearer than what he presents in the book, and if it wasn't, then I have no confidence at all that and you were actually soundly saved as a result of anything Piper said.
Right, and even if somebody was truly saved by embracing Christ at something like that, that doesn't put a seal of approval on the speaker. Like, for instance, I know people, in fact, I interviewed at least one a number of years ago, who was led to the biblical Christ and the biblical gospel through the Jehovah's Witnesses, not because they embraced what the Jehovah's Witnesses were teaching him, but they started reading the Bible as a result of the visits from the Jehovah's Witness. So just because that person came to Christ and was saved does not mean we legitimize the Jehovah's Witnesses.
No, people get saved and even soundly saved in horrible churches from horrible messages. where God might save somebody in spite of the message that is preached or the church that preaches it. But that is no support for or endorsement of unbiblical methods just because God might choose to do something in spite of them while a person happens to be exposed to them. We should still be testing the movement or the source itself with Scripture.
We have John in Bangor, Maine, who asks, can either of you cite from history any notable figure, especially a notable figure that is viewed today by theologically sound people as someone to read and study from, who had an experience of the afterlife, such as seeing either heaven or hell, and living to tell the tale? Jim, if you could start, or either one of you can start.
I'm just pausing because I'm racking my brain to think of one. I can't think of one off the top of my head.
Justin, do you know of any?
No, Chris, nor I can't either off the top of my head. But the converse of that, I can think of many. You have like Joseph Smith and Muhammad, both of whom claim to have very real experiences. This being, this entity, appeared to them and gave them new revelation. And so, you know, we want to drive home the point that we're not doubting that people have experiences. What we're calling people's attention to is what is the source of those experiences. And anything that exceeds biblical parameters, as all of these accounts do, 100% of them do, must be rejected. And it's just like Jim said a moment ago with 2 Peter 1. I mean, here you have Peter who was an eyewitness to the transfiguration himself, and he referred to the scriptures as more certain than that. So we just want to champion the sufficiency of scripture. But in short, no, I cannot think of anyone.
John, please give us your full mailing address there in Bangor, Maine, and we'll have CVBBS.com ship you out a free copy of Selling the Stairway to Heaven, Critiquing the Claims of Heaven Tourists by our guest, Jim Osman. We have a related question here. We have Christian in Suffolk County, New York, who asks, have there been frequent accounts in the past, prior to the 20th century, of people making these claims, or are the preponderance of them made in recent years? He's basically asking about anybody, regardless of their theological makeup. I mean, was this a frequent thing throughout history where people would make these claims?
I don't remember. I don't know from history of a high concentration of these claims. I mean, it seems like such claims are endemic to the charismatic movement, the New Apostolic Reformation, Word of Faith movement. Such claims seem to be pretty symptomatic of what goes on in those circles. But and that, of course, is a more recent phenomenon. But from church history, again, I don't know of anybody, I don't know of a time in the history of the church that I'm aware of where you had this kind of a mass promotion of these kinds of claims, and especially embraced within the church. I'm sure there are cultic groups within church history where these people who preach a different gospel openly and a different Jesus openly also have these claims of visions like Joseph Smith that Justin just referenced, but in terms of within the church and being accepted by broad swaths of what we would normally consider to be Orthodox Christians, and with sound denominations, the Baptist denomination and Lifeway books, etc., I don't know of any other concentration of such an acceptance of it in church history.
No, and I would just add to that, certainly nothing concentrated. You do see throughout the last couple thousand years, a number of people who claim to receive dreams and visions. But whether you're talking about, for example, you see this with the Montanists, you see this with the Quakers, you see it with Charles Parham and William Seymour, who started the Charismatic movement, Amy Semple McPherson, Maria Woodworth Eder, Mary Baker. But with all of these, with 100% of these examples, Chris, of people who claim to get dreams and visions or claim to go to heaven, and a movement is started as a result of these claims, 100% of them go off the rails doctrinally, 100% of them. And
So this is why we keep harping on the sufficiency of Scripture. Anytime somebody claims to get a dream and vision, they introduce something new, without fail, 100% of the time. And usually, and it doesn't take very long, they go off the rails doctrinally in very, very significant ways. They go right into heresy, 100% of the time.
Hmm. Well, I want to make sure, Jim, that you don't let any stone remain unturned before we go off the air here. If you could bring up anything else that you want to make sure our listeners are aware of regarding your book, Selling the Stairway to Heaven, Critiquing the Claims of Heaven Tourists.
One other thing that I would make reference to is that in Don Piper's book, and I'm trying to be fair here with Don Piper and what he says. In his book, my critique of his book, one of the things I try and point out is, we cannot say that what he said, what he experienced, was true or genuine. I don't believe that it was. And so then one of the questions that my critics would bring up is, if he didn't experience the real heaven, then how do you explain his experience? And the short answer to that is, I don't need to explain his experience, although I do think that there are ways to explain this experience. I don't think that we can rule out demonic deception, that he had a genuine experience where demons deceived him, and he was open up to such deception, and that he had some experience in the subconscious realm of his mind where he thought he saw things and heard things, and demons had some influence in that. I think that that's a possibility. I think it's also a possibility that his particular experience was generated by the heavy doses of painkillers and drugs that he was on after his accident. And he mentions that in his book, the number of medications that he was on, just it was almost mind-numbing in its intensity because of the tremendous amount of pain that he was in. His experience could be the result of just the medications and the tricks that were being played with his mind, and him projecting onto those experiences what he wanted or what he thought he should get in heaven and what he expects in heaven. Those are possible explanations for his experience. With Colton Burpo, it could be that you just have a 4-year-old boy who's making stuff up, and Todd Burpo is going along with it and embracing it and not questioning it and recording it down as if it's the actual experience of his 4-year-old boy in heaven. Eben Alexander, I think that his experience could be demonic deception. It could also be the product of the meningitis that he had, the illness and the drugs that they were using and his coma. There are all kinds of explanations for these various experiences and tales, and I think it is wrong for Christians just to assume out of the gate that if they had that experience and it talks about God and Jesus, it must be true, and it must be useful to the church, and that these men should be given a platform when I think they should not be given a platform. One other thing I would add to that is that typically in these accounts, with Heaven is for Real, for instance, the way in which Todd Burpo serially abuses Scripture by jerking them out of their context and misapplying them is utterly stunning. It would make a Jehovah's Witness blush the way he does it. And he does it systematically on different passages of Scripture. He'll take a phrase out of a passage of Scripture and compare it to something that his son says and see, therefore, it must be biblical. And I give a number of these examples in my own book. Anybody who abuses Scripture like that should not be trusted, not only to not exegete Scripture, they shouldn't be trusted to exegete Scripture, they shouldn't be trusted to give any kind of a discernment or an account of an experience that we would expect to see any kind of discernment attached to. It's utterly pathetic.
Well, we have Susan Margaret in Dauphin County, Pennsylvania, who asked the question, don't you think that we who are very conservative and cessationist Christians who discount all of these things as false, that we must not broad brush them all as being from charlatans, because there are genuine supernatural accounts that are occurring, but from the demonic realm. And when people who are truly experiencing things like this are being told that they're liars, they will discount everything else that we say to them that is true from the Bible, because they will know for certain that what we are saying in regard to them making up a story is false.
Well, go ahead, Jonathan. Okay. Just quickly, as we've been saying all throughout the program, we don't doubt that some of these people are having experiences. The question is, what is the source of those experiences? Now, we can say factually that on many points they are lying because they contradict themselves. As I pointed out a few minutes ago with Don Piper, he has glaring contradictions even within his own story. And Colton Burpo is exactly the same way, and I detail this in my seminar as I go around presenting this to churches. I have a section of my seminar that deals with this. So we can factually say that they are lying because we can document their lies. Now, you know, what happened with their experience with their dream or they're just making it up, you know, that's, we can offer educated guesses, but we can't say. But we can say that they're not biblical, and we can say that at many points they are liars. And if I may, Chris, I just want to get this point in. The question was brought up just a moment ago about cessationism, and I think Jim and I would both be on the same page with this. We are not advocating some cold, dead orthodoxy here where, you know, it's just everything is doctrine, 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 and that's, you know, just somehow that's cold and lifeless. I think Jim and I would both say that true doctrine, sound doctrine, is what helps us to better know God. It deepens our knowledge of God. And when our knowledge of God is deepened, then that enables our love for God to be deepened. And so doctrine is not cold at all. It is vibrant. And Jim and I are not against experiences. I think we would both say to everyone listening to this, I would be afraid of the man who does a deep study of God's Word and, for example, studies the attributes of God. I would be afraid of the man who truly studies God's Word and is not moved, deeply moved in his emotions by who God is, the majesty of God, His holiness, His faithfulness, His love, His mercy, His wrath, and all of these things. And so we would affirm biblical experiences, and I'm just in awe as I study God's Word of who He is. And so we're not advocating something that's cold and lifeless. Study God's Word, get to know Him, deepen your knowledge of God, and you will have the experience of being in awe of our great King, Jesus Christ. That is an experience that we would affirm. And having the experience of the blessing of a clear conscience before God, all of these things we would experience. It's when experiences exceed biblical parameters that we throw up the red flag.
Amen. And just to follow up on BB's, oh, I'm sorry, that was Susan's question in Dauphin County, Pennsylvania. I think that she was on to something in regard to we who are not in the orbit of Pentecostalism or the charismatic movement, we sometimes ignore the reality of demons and the demonic realm, even though we would say with certainty that they exist. We would say that Satan is a real creation, that he does indeed exist. We tend to just not talk about it much or preach about it much. And I think that she is onto something. Don't you think that there can be a danger in, whereas on the one hand, you have some charismatics and some Pentecostals finding a demon under every rock, you have Reformed people just not addressing the issue. Don't you think that's dangerous? And I'll have you both respond.
Yeah, a lot of erring on either side of that spectrum, I think, is a danger. Seeing a demon behind every rock and bush and never acknowledging the presence of anything supernatural. I think both of those are equal errors on opposite sides of the spectrum.
And Justin,
I agree with that. There's a danger in looking for a demon under every rock, nook, and cranny where there just isn't one. But we've got to remember that the demons are real. They do have power. They can influence people. They can tempt. So they are real. But as a Christian, one who is in union with the Lord Jesus Christ through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God, we are a new creature in Christ, and a demon, Satan, cannot possess us, cannot control us. And greater is he who is within us than he who is in the world. So there are ditches on both of those fronts.
We have, let's see here, we have Christopher from Suffolk County, Long Island, New York, who says, do you think that what makes these stories most compelling is the fact that there are many Christians and others who are aching with broken hearts because their loved ones have departed from this earth, whether they are saved or unsaved, and out of missing them so greatly, they wish to have some kind of further proof that their loved one is in a place that's real?
Yeah, Piper actually alludes to that on a number of occasions in his book, because he says that that's one of the glories or the privileges that he has now that he's come back, is he gets to go around and have people tell him, you know, I doubted this and I'm so comforted and I needed to be reassured that heaven is actually for real because I've lost somebody. And he tells a number of stories later on in his book that of accounts that he's had of people who've come up and said that very thing. And he takes it as a, you know, a badge of honor or pride or however you would say it, that he gets to be the one to confirm that to people. And I would say that if somebody came up to me, I would just point them to Scripture. And that's ultimately where people need to be pointed back to, is you can have this confidence of what is happening to your loved one or where your loved one is because of what Scripture says, not because of what Piper says, not because of what Burpo says, and not because of any experience of any person who has ever lived, but because of the testimony of Scripture. If what Jesus says about heaven does not encourage people and give them confidence and comfort, then why would they think that Piper or Burpo can do the same? Why would anybody think that they can offer such comfort? They ought to look to the testimony of Jesus.
Praise God. Well, I want you now, Jim and Justin, to summarize in about a minute each what you most want etched in the hearts and minds of our listeners before we go off the air.
Well, I'll go first, since that way Justin can't steal my thunder. I would again point your listeners back to the sufficiency of Scripture. I think that that's what this ultimately comes back to. I don't know of a single issue that plagues modern evangelicalism that cannot be traced back to, at its root, a lack of belief in the sufficiency of Scripture, whether it is modern-day prophets and revelations or the seeker-sensitive movement or pastors trying to entertain their flocks and get away from preaching and preach on the latest summer blockbuster, or whether it's the gobbling up of the heaven tourism industry and the testimony there, or even whether it is taking the testimony of demons and in thinking that that is somehow a source of authority for spiritual warfare. All of the things that you've interviewed me about, as well as all of the things that plague evangelicalism, come back to the sufficiency of Scripture. We would point people back to the Word, to the testimony of the Word, and if the church in America and the church in our world could just get grounded on what it means that God's Word is enough, it is sufficient, it is pure, holy, and true, and we can trust it, and that is enough to inform all of life and godliness, if we could get people back to that, most of our problems and our false doctrines would disappear almost overnight.
And Justin?
I tell you, I don't really know what I could add to that, because that's exactly almost word for word what I was going to say myself. The real battle today.
I knew it. That's why I
just
jumped in there before you had
to. But that, absolutely, that is what Jim and I both championed. The battle today is not so much over inerrancy, that those, even though those fires still smolder in pockets, but the real battle today is over the sufficiency of God's Word. Are the Scriptures sufficient? And unfortunately, Chris, we are losing that battle big time today. So the sufficiency of God's Word, so whether it's heaven tourism, whether it's Jesus calling Sarah Young, any of these things, anything that distracts our attention from the Word of God is not the work of the author of the Word of God. That is not of God. That is a demonic distraction.
Okay, well, I know that your websites, as far as Jim Osmond is concerned, is kootenychurch.org, KOOTENAI church.org, and also truthorterritory.com, truthorterritory.com. And Justin Peters, I know your website is justinpeters.org, justinpeters.org. I want to thank you both for being on the program. I look forward to many future return visits to Iron Sharpens and Zion Radio from both of you. I want to thank everybody who listened, especially those who took the time to write in questions. And I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.